Yeah, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the things that are looks like coming up on the horizon. Father, I know that when all the bad things happen, the good things happen that much more. Glory to God, the signs and wonders are going to come out the walls. And everybody that loves you, that's been walking in that holiness walk, Lord, is going to walk around here like a walking, talking Jesus. And the revival will start and all of the heavens will be populated by this time ahead. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to use every one of us in a mighty way. And we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that Bruce is healed. We thank you, Lord, that he can eat. We thank you, Lord, that his stomach has been repaired and the cancer's gone and he can eat and dance around there and just have a good time in the Lord. Father, we just praise you for that. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just infusing him with strength in his body right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that tonight's going to be special, that tonight people's lives are going to be brought to light, some things that they didn't know. I don't know what that's going to be, but Lord, you do, and I praise you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be unusual. Not only unusual, it's going to be of you, because we're going to be led by your Spirit. And when we're led by your Spirit, great things happen. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, fill us all up with your Holy Spirit. And with just overflowing Spirit all around us, Lord. And we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Praise God. Let's see if anybody's got a prayer request. Let me get me a piece of paper here. Anybody got a prayer request? That's iPad Judy. What's up, girl? There's Mr. Willie. Okay. Get that over there. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Let's see you boogie down, boy. Hey, Obi. Anybody got a prayer request? Y'all just believe with me, okay? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for surrounding President Trump with your warrior angels, with all the protection that he needs. Not only him, but his family, his cabinet, and all the men and women that are working with him, Father. I thank you for your wisdom that you've been given him, Lord. And I praise you, Father, that he's going to acknowledge that you're the one running the show and not him. He don't know it, but he will. And Father, I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that they're going to round up all of this swamp people, drain that swamp. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We just praise you, Father, for the work you're doing up there. You said if we pray that you do this thing, we pray and we believe and we know it, Lord. We know that you're going to do this thing. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to do the same thing in Canada. You're going to do the same thing in South Africa. You're going to do the same thing in France and all over this world, Father. That people that have stolen from your people, Lord, for these many, many generations are now going to pay up. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We believe that by faith, Lord, because you've given us the faith and we just walk in it. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing this thing, not us. And I don't know what kind of judgment's coming. It don't make any difference. As long as we abide in you, Lord, we're in good hands. And we thank you for it, Father. We ask, Lord, that you anoint us for tonight. That it be an awesome time tonight, Lord. That people would have a great time in you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. What about it? Joe, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I made plans today since good. I mean, you told me, and so I think the enemy was trying to work me over a little bit today. It didn't really work, so saying, what are you going to do for the holidays? And so, I mean, the holidays have always been kind of a low point for me from time to time. But, it sounds like, well, I don't know. I mean, my little brother here almost towards the end of the workday said, hey, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? So he invited me over to his house on Thursday. And, I'd like prayer for that. Just that, I mean, it's actually his wife's family. He's got three boys. I guess they're all like 2 years apart, really little. And some of his wife's family will show up. And as far as I know, it's just me. I don't know of anybody in my family besides my little brother.
You got to hang on just a second. Willie, you got an emergency?
Go ahead, Willie.
Joe, that's an opportunity.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity. You know, just thank God for being invited, and then go there.
That's kind of what I thought, yeah.
For inviting you there for the holiday, and then just go there.
Yeah.
And see, let the Lord do his work. Don't feel down.
Yeah.
Don't feel distraught. Don't feel defeated.
Yeah.
See, we take all of that the wrong way. I thank God for denominations. You want to know why? Because that gives me the opportunity to walk in there and tell them about Jesus Christ.
Yeah, true, true.
Amen.
Yeah, good point, good point.
So I thank God for Christmas. It had nothing to do with Christ, but it gives me the opportunity to talk about Christ. And so don't feel guilty. But whatever you feel in your heart, thank God for revealing it. God, I thank you for, this loneliness is being revealed.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you for, this depression that's being revealed. God, I thank you for this confusion, because all of that, in so doing, you're surrendering yourself to the Lord. You're no longer, holding on to these things and trying to remove them by your own strength.
Yeah.
You surrender everything to him. So I'll go. I was very, how can I put it, hard about Christmas. Dirty celebrate Christmas. Halloween. I'm just going to take the family thing for a second, the Christmas thing. I don't celebrate it, but this is an opportunity. And if it's an opportunity, that Satan took advantage of, that in a place where God can take captivity captive, go for it. Satan knew that we were created in weakness. He took advantage of it. But the weakness was created that God's glory might be manifested in us. He said he came in and he took captivity captive. Sin brought us into captivity. Christ came and took those who were weak. Satan took advantage of us being created in weakness. He know Adam wasn't all knowing. He know Adam wasn't all powerful. But now here's a great opportunity. Great opportunity, man. Walk in with the joy of the Lord. Take full advantage of the situation. Confess. Don't let nothing hinder you. Confess it all to God. Father, I'm afraid right now as I walk up to this door, but I thank you for it, Lord. We're confessing, I'm not strong in any way. I surrender everything to you, Father. But that's all I got to say.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Yeah.
Father, we
all
just thank you for placing wisdom and the words to say when he gets there, and joy in his heart. It's an opportunity to witness to his brother. In a small way, to open up a door for this dialogue that you need. Father, we just pray for Joe that you give him all the capacity he needs to handle all of this food he's fixing to walk into Thursday afternoon. And Jesus, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that he ain't going to overindulge. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We praise you for what you allow us to do at times, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for Joe. We praise you for him, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It's going to be so good, Joe. Good gracious.
Well, well put, Willie. I think don't let the enemy have his way, because he has too many times before. But just, hey, you know, look at it. I could have looked at it. I mean, yeah, you know, thanks for a good way of looking at it there. So, you know, just walk into it and let God take the situation over, you know. So, amen. Amen.
You know, the Lord began to show me that, you know, he brought me that scripture to my mind today. And they were like, you know, for what reason was this man born blind? You know, was it his father's sins or his parents' sins or his sins? And Jesus was like, no, for the glory of God. And then the Lord told me what Jesus said. Jesus said, no, he was created in weakness so that he could be filled with the glory of God. That's why I created you. He didn't mention the man's sins. Man, he didn't even say nothing about the man's blindness, but just healed him. It was irrelevant to him. You know, he wasn't looking at the sin. He wasn't looking at the sickness. You know, he was looking at, you know, God created us in weakness that we might be filled with him. And I'm going to show you, you know, I'm going to show you. And that man's eyes were open. And what did they do? You know, they glorified God. You know, this man believed on God. You know, and he was kicked out of the synagogue. Even that has a meaning. Man, he was free. He was free. 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 You know, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord shall take me up. You know. And it showed him getting that kicked out synagogue was that, you know, the Lord took me up, you know. Like, who is he that I should believe upon him? And he said, it is me, you know. And that man followed Christ. You know, powerful, powerful. That's, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm done.
Oh, that's good. That's good, Willie. Yeah, I tell you what, Joe, just go back and watch that YouTube video about talking, you know, that we showed last week. But get that before you go, man. You'll be walking on the sky then. You'll be talking just like you're supposed to, you know. Praise God. That'd be awesome. You know which one I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. I watch it too. That's a good one. Y'all know what good one is, don't you? Okay. All right, anybody else? I kind of got a silly mood tonight. Let me tell you what I did this afternoon, just kind of let you know where I'm at. I went on a long, I'm talking long walk this afternoon. Glory to God, it was long. Is that a bit of half a mile? Anyway, no, it's about, yeah, about a half a mile. And it was, I'm telling you, it was tough too. Anyway, I got back to the, it was about a 3 mile hike. Anyway, I got back to the truck and I locked my keys up in the truck. I ain't done that since I was a teenager. And I said, what in the world am I thinking about? Now, how am I going to get my key? Now, I was out at Fort Loudoun Park, which is kind of out in the boondocks. And no, I didn't go down the mailbox, Joe. I was over at Fort Loudoun. But anyway, I called David. I knew he had an extra key. I gave him an extra key so he can do just such as that, you know. But anyway, I got my truck back. But, boy, I was sitting out there. After I get back and walk, you know, I was kind of sweating on the inside. But when you just sit there in the cold weather, that sweat turns to cold, and I'm sitting there freezing. I'm, David, get on over here, boy. Anyway, we got it done. I got back home, so everything was okay. But that's the first time I'd done that in a long time. Can't remember when the last time I left my keys locked up in the car, truck. All right. Anybody else? You trying to talk, Jenny? No. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Got a prayer request, testimony, a praise report.
I have a prayer request.
Okay, Barbara, like, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like for you to pray that I would walk in all the former rain. I want all of that. I don't know how to get that.
Well, me too. Can I? Me too. We all want that. Praise God. Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, we'll pray for all of us to have the former rain.
Amen. Amen. We all want that. Praise God. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, that your former rain is available to all of us.
Yes.
All we have to do is receive it by faith. And Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that the whole former rain, this filling of the Holy Spirit, walking in the gifts, all the gifts in operation. Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, we're not going to be double-minded to think that we don't have it. We're going to walk in it and act it, and people's lives are going to be changed because of it in the name of Jesus. Y'all believe that? Amen. Amen. The former rain is not a feeling now. It's a walk. It is a walk. So praise God. You got it, girl. Go for it. All right, anybody else? Judy, go ahead.
Okay, well, I've got a thing here from the Daily Bread that I wanted to read because of, it says, thanks for who God is.
Okay.
Coming up, I just thought, when I read it, I thought, I'm supposed to read this on the conference call. So it's thanks for God for who God is. Among the thousands of sentiments printed on greeting cards, perhaps one of the most touching is this simple statement, thanks for being you. If you receive that card, you know that someone cares for you, not because you did something spectacular for that person, but because you're appreciated for your essence. I wonder if this kind of sentiment might indicate for us one of the best ways to say thank you to God. Sure, there are times when God intervenes in our lives in a tangible way, and we say something like, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to get that job or something else. But most often, we can simply say, thank you, God, for being who you are. That's what behind verses like 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Thank you, God, for who you are, good and loving. And Psalm 7:17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. Thank you, God, for who you are, the Holy One. And let us come before him with thanksgiving. For the Lord is the great God. Psalms 95:2-3. Thank you, God, for who you are, the Almighty God of the universe. Who God is, that's reason enough for us to stop what we're doing and praise and thank him. Thank you, God, for just being you. And then here's a prayer. Thank you, dear God, for being who you are, the Almighty God who loves us and welcomes our love to in return. Thank you for everything that makes you magnificent. We stand in awe of you as we praise you with word and song. Thank you, Lord. So I want to thank the Lord and praise him today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's it.
It says you're muted.
Oh.
No, me. Just me. Me, Jim. Okay. Me. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Willie.
Sorry, I'm busting out with excitement. Barbara.
Go ahead, brother. You're getting me tickled, too.
Oh, man. You guys got to forgive me. I'm not trying to talk a lot. It's just when I get the Spirit on me and these things start flowing, it's hard for me to hold it in. One of the things I've always tried to do was, you know, try my best to understand something, try my best to grasp something, read more to grasp something, try. The Lord said to me, why don't you just thank me for not having the strength or the understanding? Didn't make any sense to me. You know, we're supposed to thank him for everything. You know, when they came out of Egypt, they thanked him for you know, the Lord wanted them to remember everything. He made a memorial for so many things that they should remember, that they were in Egypt, that they were delivered out of Egypt, that they passed through the water, that Pharaoh and his armies were drowned in the Red Sea. They thank him for everything, you know. I never thought to thank God for not having an understanding of something. You know, but what he was dealing with is that nature in me where if I read enough, if I pray enough, you know, if I believe hard enough, if I just get this to work right, get this heart right, get it, you know, I'll get the revelation. I'll deserve the revelation. I'll walk in the power and I'll deserve the power. Oh, man. You know, God had to deal with that. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, Father, I just thank you that I don't understand this scripture. You know, because you're putting your trust in him, giving you the understanding. Lord, I fought so long to try to understand this. I'm glad that I accomplished nothing. Now, Father, I'm sorry I got in your way. You know, I started thanking him for my pride. You know, I started thanking him for the results that came from that type of behavior. You know, the hardships, how long it took me to get to know him, you know, because of those things. I thanked him for the denominations I attended. Believe me, I was furious with denominations. I was furious, bitter with denominations. Want nothing to do with a denomination. I saw nothing. If that word was brought up in my ears, I would immediately find some way to destroy it. But I started thanking God that I went through all of that, through the false doctrine, you know, through those years, you know, of confusion and works, you know. And that really began to break my heart and started making it palatable. And I started seeing God do stuff. Suddenly I'm talking to people about scripture. Suddenly these understandings come out of nowhere. God starts talking to me about scriptures. You know, I never thought about in a way that they came to me, you know. And I started seeing these little small things from God, you know, of him operating. And I didn't have to do anything but thank him for it, you know. I totally forgot to say, you know, God, I thank you. I go to work, you know, you got people with addictions, people with mental health issues, people on parole. You know, people selling drugs, you know, people using drugs, people overdosing in the bathrooms, you know, catching people and bringing them out of the point of death when they're almost dead, you know. And I never sat there and said, you know, God, I just thank you that they overdosed. You know, God, I thank you that this situation happened too, Lord God. You know, I thank you, Father, that, you know, I was there. I just kind of walked that up and just walked away and said, oh, that's the norm. And expected it the next day, and then expected it the next day. But when I started thanking God for, you know, the good and the evil, not sin, but the evil things, you know, totally different results in my life, totally different results, humbling results, you know. I thank God that I don't completely understand, you know, the latter or the early rain. Because now I'm leaving it up to him to show me. I've exhausted myself trying to, you know, everything I could try to grasp it. You know, I'm glad I'm exhausted. I'm glad I don't understand. You know, I'm glad I've been brought to this place of weakness, you know, to receive the heart of God. You know, I wanted grandeur. I wanted knowledge. I wanted, you know, prophecies. I wanted visions. I wanted power, you know. Why not just the love of God? If I can call the early and latter rain anything, I want it to be consumed by the love of God. But I'm not saying to change your mind on one, but I'm just saying how, you know, these are really great things the Lord's been doing with me, you know. And I thank him for it, you know. And I thank you guys for just bearing with me, you know, and praying for me, and just the word of God, you know, that you've allowed to operate in your lives, you know. Wow. As a body, we do excellent things. Excellent things. You know, I praise the Lord for it. All of our weaknesses, all of our strengths, all of our struggles, you know, all of our temptations, all of our needs, all of our failures, you know, all of it. Praise God. You know, I thank him for it. I thank God, you know, that he's becoming the reality of my life. And not just a thing I have to try really hard to imagine for it to become real. But that's all I got to say. You know, I'll try to shut up.
Yeah. Amen. No, that's good, Jim. Yeah, we want God. We want him most of all. Some of us have needs that have to be, we want to see right away the things manifested, you know. But God, most of the time, doesn't work that way. He wants to see our faith. He wants to see that walk that he's put us on to endure in that faith to the end, it says. What's the end? That's until it manifests. Until we hang in there with the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that my husband's healed. Thank you, Lord, that my wife's healed, or whatever it is that you're believing for. But he puts us through a trial for one reason, to see if you're going to endure in it. Are you going to be that good soldier that stands and fights the whole time? And I believe and I know that if you will, it'll happen. That has to happen because of what God said in his word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What else? Y'all look so good tonight. I bet y'all be looking at y'all Thursday night. Y'all be all puffed out. Done been gained about 10 or 15 pounds. Good gracious. Julie's going to be here Thursday night, she said. So that'd be good. I told her, I said, yeah, we're going to be there. Good to see you. Now I'm going to be full of ham and turkey. Got to keep your eyes on me that I don't doze off. Know what I mean? And then she went to praying for me. That I wouldn't be there or what. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I actually got a praise report. You know, it's funny you bring that up, Willie, because that's kind of the road I'm on. You're like 20 steps ahead of me or whatever, you know, and I'm kind of headed right down that same road. But I'll put this into practice there. Thank God for making me small lately. You know, that's one thing, more and more. I mean, I've brought it up before, but I'm just realizing it more and more, bringing you to that place of weakness. Because I remember when I first kind of heard that series, I mean, it was just so like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to get in a place of weakness. You know, I mean, I've been there before, and it's just like, you know, the flesh and everything just causes you to like fear, like, oh, I don't know about that place. I don't know if that's a good thing, but thank you, God, that you're putting me in that place of weakness. You know, hopefully we can all say that here. You know, I mean, I don't know if anyone else is experiencing that lately. God stripping you of all that self-confidence and, you look at times you fail and you fall on your face, or you don't see something, you know, that you are believing in to manifest, and you feel so, you know, you feel that kind of hopelessness. Or I mean, sometimes if you let the enemy do it, or you feel that helplessness, like, oh, like you said, Willie, you basically exhausted yourself. I'm kind of in that part, I guess. I'm kind of exhausting myself a bit, like, oh, I gotta figure this out, you know. I gotta work this thing up, and I know it's gonna, you know, manifest. It's like, no, I think that's God, like, okay, go ahead, you know. You think you still got some in the tank? All right, you know, let her out, and it kind of makes you weak. And yeah, he's getting to be that point where I'm just like, I'm getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and then it's like, okay. And he's like, all right, perfect. Now I can, this is what I'm using right now, or, you know, this is what I need you to be, you know? And so when you get smaller, it gets bigger, just your understanding. And I think I'm getting to that point finally where it's just like, you know, that place of like helplessness, you know, not that place of hopelessness, but that place of helplessness where he wants us, place of weakness where you're just like, okay, I can't do anything. I can't do a single thing, God. I think it's you who's the one who's supposed to be doing it, you know? And once you get to that place, you just look to him, you know? And I see he's kind of stripping me of stuff and these attitudes and, or showing me, hey, you know, this attitude you got here, Joe, this isn't of me, you know? This is, you know, it's time to deal with this. And it's like, oh, you know, you feel that sense of weakness. It's like, I clung to that for so many years, you know? I thought you were going to use that, you know? And it's like, nope, I got to get rid of that. So he keeps getting rid of stuff and you get even more weak. So thank you, Lord, that, you know, I thought I'd say that, you know, thank you, Lord, for making me weak. You're doing a great job. Thank you for making me weak. So, you know, I take that as a testimony here of God getting you in that position to make you weak. Because, you know, as we know, I mean, weakness is the way to God's power. You know, I'm starting to see that. I'm starting to see how weak I really am, how insignificant, you know, or just how helpless without his power, you know, to get you in that position. And then I, you know, starting to see, okay, that's where God can really do those things. Because I think you, the more I, you know, I kind of look at some of the testimonies of these great men and men of God in the past, it just how so insignificant they really were, you know, in the grander scheme or the bigger picture of, you know, the way the world views it, they were so insignificant, you know, your average individual. I think they said D.L. Moody was just was a shoe salesman, you know, the most insignificant individual in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes, wow, the things he did, you know, for the Lord. So thought I'd throw that out there. So
yeah, Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. Yep. Amen. All right, anyone else? Hi, Dave. He's kind of come in for a landing, I think. Okay, anybody else got a testimony, a praise report, or just want to talk? What are you wrestling there with, man? Yeah, right, go ahead.
Wait a minute to figure this one out. No, I just got this iPad going. I've got a couple different things going here, so I'm trying to figure out how to use them.
Okay. All right. I understand, brother. I feel your pain.
All right. Yeah.
All right, Judy, go ahead. Or Sue. Okay. We'll let her.
I felt like the Lord wanted me to reiterate about how I'm walking and leaving for the Lord to bring the manifestation of my eyes, you know, and healing my eyes. And, you know, just like what Joe was saying about, you know, relying on the Lord. In the past, sometimes I've just, I mean, at first when I started to walk and believe for this, when I had to drive without my glasses, it was like I was trying to do it, trying to get myself to see the road, and I didn't realize I was doing that. And it seemed like the more that I was trying to do it, the tenser I got and the worse it got. But then I realized, Lord, I'm trying to do this. I can't do this. You have to do this. I can't do this. Because I dealt with floaters and I dealt with fogginess in one eye more than the other. So, you know, I'm standing on the promises of God, and I'm thinking that I'm trying to do it, you know, and realizing that I can't do it. And then when I started to walk that way, it was like, why? I've got to really trust in the Lord. I really can't do this. Lord, you have to. And I would be praying, Lord, thank you for, you know, healing my eyes. And thank you, Lord, that that your eyes are my eyes. My eyes are yours because you're in me. And you know, I pray that the Lord, you know, can help me to see the road and whatever else I need to see. And I've been, after I realized that I was trying to do it and I couldn't, then I thought, then I was more at ease. I could just rely on him, you know, to do what he wanted to do with my eyes, you know. But and believing that he's you know, that I have the healing. And so it's been a little bit easier for me in a sense that I'm just relying on him. I'm resting in him on this whole thing. And it's been, I mean, I had sometimes every once in a while, all of a sudden both of my eyes would get a little foggy and I was like, what? No, this has to go, you know? And I remind the enemy, he has to go for my eyes, you know? And sometimes it would go right away and sometimes it didn't, you know? So I would just continue to trust in him and just rest in him. I mean, you're driving down the road and all of a sudden if you get a little fog in your eyes, you're thinking, what? Lord, you've got to get me through this. And he has been. He's been everywhere I've been driving, he's been there for me. And I'm thanking the Lord for it. So, amen. So it is to die to self. Realizing we can't do it. We can't do it without him. That's what I keep getting about, you know, this whole situation. And then I have to rely on him, you know. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that her eyes are healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Yep. That's a big one. I see that. How many times you on here, Dave? Daytime. Okay, I was talking to Dave. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I found a scab on Fudge. It's about maybe an eighth of an inch round or something on Fudge. And at first I thought it kind of felt like a lump. I thought maybe it was a tick or something. And I looked at it and I don't know what the world it is. The only thing I can figure is she was out in the woods or whatever and got, you know, because she's been going nuts lately, being a little mischievous. Just maybe a branch hit her or something. But I just want to pray just to make sure that that's nothing. So,
okay.
Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we command that to be healed up, whatever that is in Jesus' name, that there's nothing, no issues with that. And it's just going to heal up and there's no problems in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're going to dry it up and heal it up, swelling down, and no pain in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Fudge's healing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you,
and
Jesus.
I'm going to add a little to that. Can you please put her your angels around her and keep her close to home and not be running around so much?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Lord, put that Holy Ghost fence out there where she can't go out around it in the name of Jesus. Okay, anyone else? Go ahead, Dave. Are you muted? You're not muted. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, yeah, I'm not much to say. I put my laptop on a docking station, so I lost my video and my mic, so I'm kind of moving between a couple different devices beyond the mic, that's all. I haven't figured this one out yet, what I'm going to do, but I needed a little bigger screen so I could see things better, because it was getting hard to read. My laptop is a little small, so.
Okay. You know,
realize, oh, I don't have a mic and I don't have audio or video. Twice right here tonight.
Okay. Praise God. Okay, anyone else? Okay. I thought I'd run this tonight and show y'all something. I don't think we've seen this one before. And I'm going to get her going here. Get her done. Give me a second here. Where'd y'all go? Ah, there you go. Okay, let's see, share computer sound, not in meeting, share, okay. Okay, let's see if I can get her up here. It's about 25 minutes long. I think y'all enjoyed it. It's a compilation video. Listen to this.
God,
y'all hear it?
Beloved, because God says to this man, will I tremble at your word. Let us tremble this morning.
If ever there was a time that you and I fully embraced the heart of God and the will of God and the ways of God and the word of God, oh, beloved, it's now. There was a time in this country when I'm sure you would walk in the house of the Lord, and if you were living in willful sin, you would tremble. In awe, there was a reverence of God. There was a sense of God's holiness.
There's very little of the fear of God among today's Christians.
I want to tell you, God is no grandfather. He's not one who just ignores anything you do, like grandfathers do. What did we read in 1 Peter 1? Spend your entire life on earth. This is not Old Testament, this is New Testament. It's the Apostle Peter writing 30 years after the day of Pentecost. Spend your entire life on earth in fear. The same word. I'm supposed to live my entire life on earth, 1 Peter 1:17, in fear. In fear of what? Fear of God.
But there was a trembling. There was a time in this country when you walked in the house of God and you knew if you were living in sin, you were going to be confronted.
Paul speaks in Romans 11 about the severity and the goodness of God. In what connection? In his dealing with this ancient people. There's no fear in the church for God. The fear of God is absent from the church, and that's why we take the horrendous liberties that we do. For how shall we fear him if we have not known his severity, his judgments, his dealings, how far he will go, even with his own ancient people who are yet the apple of his eye, despite their fallenness.
Even in the church, we've lost our sense of the holiness of God. You know, Charles Wesley gave us that lovely children's hymn, Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon the little child. But you know, some people never get past Gentle Jesus.
Has lost the fear of God. There's no fear of God left in the land. This is what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord, fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from their evil. From the fear of the Lord.
A reverent fear of God, which brings freedom. And it's because many Christians do not have that reverent fear of God that they don't come into freedom.
Call it what you want, reverential awe. Call it what you want. But there's such a thing. Is remember that God is not mocked. There's such a thing as looking at the majesty and holiness of God.
But a one-sided Christianity, which always spoke about, always be sure you're accepted before God. God loves you, brother. Don't be, remember God loves you just as you are. His love is unconditional. It's all true. But if you only look at that, you've got one side of God, and you've got a one-sided God, and you'll see the end result of that in the way you live. The other is the fear that I may hurt God.
There is no awe, no sense of fear, no deep respect that he's a living God and a seeing and a knowing God. And we can't get away with our little gitchy goo and cutting corners as if he does not observe it.
Tell you what, it's a very different picture in the Word of God. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ needs a new revelation of the majesty of God.
The remarkable thing is, he lets it go on, and he's silent, and we assume that either he has condoned it or he's not seen it until the day comes.
Genesis 20 verse 10, and Abraham said, verse 11, because I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. There is no fear of God. These fellows are sexually, you know, polluted. It's interesting that the first time the Holy Spirit uses the phrase the fear of God is in relation to sexual sin. As I meditated on it, the Lord showed me that it is through sexual temptation more than in any other area that I test whether men especially fear me or not.
We're not like Paul, who always lived in the conscious sense of the judge and the day of judgment, that we shall be held accountable for every idle word that we speak, and that all that we have done in our bodies, both good and bad, will one day come before us when we stand before the judgment of God.
Folks, what's it going to be like? And I've tried to imagine this. What is it going to be like when we stand before the throne? Every pastor, every evangelist, when I stand there, everyone in this pulpit stands there, and everyone who's ever taken the gospel to their lips. And we stand before a holy Christ, and the books are opened. I can't bear the thought that I would have preached for 20 years here in New York City from this pulpit, and that to keep the money flowing, or to keep the crowds coming and every seat filled, that I should give a half gospel or dilute it so I won't offend you.
In Jeremiah's day, the false prophets had the biggest crowds. The true prophet could hardly get folks together. In Jeremiah's day, the thing that was so heavy on his heart was the false prophets told the people what they wanted to hear, and the people naturally flocked. And when he would start to prophesy the true word of the Lord, the people said, would you get this guy to shut up? Could somebody take care of this guy? We don't want to hear this anymore.
And you see, if you have no fear of God, you have to invent a gospel of convenience.
There's all kinds of phony people now, of huge followings. You just turn on some of the Christian television, it's enough to make you sick. And they got people writing checks all over the whole country for them. And they're not even close. But because of the biblical illiteracy among the people, they don't know the genuine from the false, because only through knowing God's word are we going to know what's true. Amen?
And this is what's happened in America and around the world. You see, man can't get away from that nagging sense. And that's the Holy Spirit, who says there's death and then there's judgment. There's a day of standing before God to give an account. And the Bible makes it very, very clear. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And there's a day we're going to have to give an account. And there's a hell. And Jesus said there's a hell of fire. And weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a darkness that can be felt.
A lot of us share God's word here and there. Paul says how he preached. He says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 3, when I came preaching to you, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. Preaching with fear and trembling? Where do we hear of that today? People who preach afraid lest they may say something God doesn't want them to say.
Repent or be damned. Well, thank God someone's still crying it out. Because that's the whole Bible, from the heart of the God of love, that you say wouldn't say those words, you liberal theologians. Shame on you. Sending people to hell just so you can have a job. What you don't give from this book, sir, God will require of you, and their blood will be in your hands. You better start preaching truth or get out of the pulpit, you liberal theologians. You're in for a terrible shock. In the next moment, you'll be in front of God. Not only with your own soul to give account for, but those you kept from truth.
But today, a whole lot of people are learning about grace who haven't learned about the fear of God. And you got to learn the fear of God before you can appreciate the grace of God. Otherwise, you'll get a false grace. The reverence for God is an essential component of the true grace of God. A grace of God that does not include a reverential fear of God is a false grace. Verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, and fear God. This is the true grace of God. A grace of God which does not include the fear of God is a false grace.
If you don't contend and fall into a kind of a slipshod, easy casualness, you're almost guaranteeing your deception. I would hate to die in that condition, because in whatever condition we end this life, or in the Lord's coming, in that condition we eternally remain. There is no remedy. There's a finality. There's closure.
And there's no mercy. Mercy is gone forever.
And I believe that many Christians are worshiping a false god. God of their imagination, who's a grandfather, who just allows them to do what they like.
Better is a little with the fear of the Lord, than great treasure. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Trouble therewith. And it will come, let me tell you. You're dealing with the holy God before the day of judgment, sir. And if you're saved, you're dealing with a God that will chasten you so that you crawl in the school of God. Don't play the fool with God, sir. Or his name if you touch it and carry it. And think these things will never happen to you concerning integrity with money.
That's the reason why we have so many lovers of money in Christendom. That's the reason why we have so many divorces in Western countries anyway, in Christendom today. That's the reason why so many fine young believers are defeated by the lust of the eyes 365 days of the year. That's why there are so many believers who are involved in internet pornography. You think they lack Bible knowledge? They got Bible knowledge oozing out of their ears, but and their tongue especially, but they haven't learned ABC. They haven't learned the fear of the Lord.
But we have to confess, it has not remained primary. It's secondary at best. It's been lost in the shuffle. Our car, our home, our family, our job, our career, our vocation has pushed out the concern of God.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
That the thing that really impresses God is if all the drums and the music are all going wonderfully and our singing is so beautiful and the parts go so well, but what about the holiness? That's the one thing God is looking for.
2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these wonderful promises, let us cleanse ourselves from every filthiness, not only of the outward things in the flesh, but the inner things of the spirit, thoughts, attitudes, motives, as much as our words and actions. And how do we do it? We perfect holiness, not in the fear of man, but in the fear of God. Those guys are perfecting holiness in the fear of man. They're afraid of being exposed in the meeting. That's not true holiness. Here it says we perfect holiness in the fear of God.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. My beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is New Testament. With fear and trembling, I have to work out what God works within me. What God works inside me, I got to work out not casually, but with fear and trembling. Ooh, that brings a solemn fear of the Lord in my heart. And I persuade men. I say, hey fellas, remember this. You're going to stand before God. And don't think with all these justification gimmicks, you're going to stand there. Verse 21. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Is there a place for that in your life? Fear of Christ. We think these are Old Testament verses. No. Ephesians 5.
we lack a consciousness of God actually as present and seeing and observing not only the things that we say and do, but even the condition of our secret heart when it's silent. You got the picture? What am I commending some kind of legalism and rob you of your charismatic freedom and bring you into some kind of constraint that God is always there seeing and knowing? I'll tell you, dear saints, the greatest malady of the church today is the lack of the fear of God as God.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
You need to contend for the faith continually.
That is where the devil trips us up. A false freedom where we think of God's love, God's love, God's love, God's love, and you go through a whole year without ever hearing about the fear of God. We got so friendly with Jesus that we've lost our reverence for
him. And when I hear people singing, you know, put your hand in the hand of him that walks on the water, forget it. Or the new song that's now, Shake Hands with Jesus. Listen, when you see Jesus, you're not going up and say, hey buddy, I'm glad you died for me. When you see Jesus, you'll be almost paralyzed with fear unless you had a glorified body and a glorified mind. John, the man who had walked with him and talked with him for 3 years, says that when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. What do you think you and I are going to do?
Well, I'll tell you what God looks for. Is there a man who fears me?
Oh, beloved, because God says to this man, will I look?
Whatever it takes, whatever it takes, keep me on my knees.
The fear of God.
Said, I've thought many great things, but the greatest thing that I've ever thought of, the most awesome, the most terrifying, the most shattering thought I've ever had is my personal accountability to God one day. His feet are like burnished brass, his face is like the sun in its strength. His eyes are living coals of fire, his tongue is a sharp two-edged sword.
One man who fears God and hates sin with a passion.
No, 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 no. The man who only wants his sins forgiven is trifling with Christianity.
This is not the time to play games. This is an extremely dangerous time to play games with God.
God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing.
And so I'm going right back to the foundation.
Will you remind people of the goodness and the severity of God?
The most precious thing we ever handle is the human soul. The Pietà one day will go up in dust. The Sistine Chapel will be blown to smithereens. But the soul of a man will live forever and ever and ever and ever. Either in eternal darkness or eternal bliss. Heaven is impeccable joy. There'll be no sorrow. Hell is eternal misery. There's no joy. There is only one way to heaven. There are a million ways to hell.
If I believe that, and I'm sitting watching an R-rated movie, I believe that, and yet I carry grudges, a revengeful spirit, can't lay down the hurt.
Now the question arises, what is God telling you to stay away from? See, this is where we move towards truth, or we cover our own selves with a garment of religion.
You've heard a lot of things today alone in your mind, just like Abraham heard one night in his bed. God spoke to him, give up your son. You've heard some things today. Nobody else heard it. The person sitting next to you didn't hear it. You're like Abraham. Read Genesis 22, where he spoke something only to you. Even Sarah sleeping next to him didn't hear it. Person sitting next to you hasn't heard it. Your wife didn't hear it. Your husband didn't hear it. You heard something. Now God is testing you whether you'll obey that or not. Abraham obeyed. God said to him, Genesis 22, now I know that you fear me.
This is a call to each one of us. What is the Holy Spirit telling you right now to walk away from? See, this is where you're going to make a choice. You're going to either cover sin with religion, or you're going to throw off that garment and move towards a holy God and say, Lord, I'm going where you're calling me. Don't put off what God's called you to do. The more you put it off, the greater chance that you'll make peace with it. If you have doubtful practices in your life, put them away. If you have embraced sin, believing erroneously today that there'd be no judgment for it, flee that as quickly as you can. Walk in what is right. The new covenant is a wonderful, wonderful truth, but it's only for the honest Christian. It is not a contract for dishonesty. It is not a covering for willful rebellion, folks, against God. There is no protection for Uzziah, and there is no protection for the person who willfully embraces wrong. If you don't believe that, then read Acts chapter 5 and see what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. That was New Covenant Christianity, and they died by the hand of God. And folks, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Don't ever lose the fear of God. God is wonderful, loving, just, and kind, but you cannot mock him. You cannot play games with the holy God. There has to be an honesty in the heart.
What I'm giving to you now is the mercy of God, who so loved you that he put you in a seat in this church this day and said, today, now is the time to make it right. But my calling this morning is a watchman, and I'm telling you now what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying. It's time to get right with God. He's saying, I have wooed you so many times. This time, I say to you in great love from the Lord and from his heart, if you pay the price, I'll open doors for you. I'll speak through you, and I'll use you again like you'd have never conceived. But you see, for a few, this is the last call. And I say it in the spirit and with love.
So be careful
what you do with this sermon now, sir. Might be your undoing forever.
Thank you.
a little heavy, wasn't it? But I thought it was necessary to wake some people up, not that y'all are asleep or anything. I'm talking about people all over that listen to this. Sometimes we have to jar people, you know, sometimes. Hold it. Can y'all hear that? It was going in the background there. Had another preacher going. All right, what do y'all think?
I thought it was really good.
Yep.
I'm going to watch it again.
Okay. Yeah, just go into YouTube and type in the Fear of God compilation.
I don't know if
what it does. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think about the fear of God, you know, it does come across my mind. I use it for like a reference of where I'm at sometimes. You know, it's like you think, because you don't want to take things lightly all the time, especially when you think you've got a little bit of a conversation thing going with God and stuff, and you kind of get in that movement and that zone, and your things are, you know, they're kind of clicking a little bit. And you have to think, oh, wait a minute, I'm talking to the highest being there is here. I better make sure I'm still being reverent, you know. One thing I noticed that God will do, he did that for me recently. And I was having a little bit of a chat with somebody, and he reminded me out of just the clear blue sky with a passage about be careful not to return evil for good. And I thought, where did that come from? And I thought, why would he say that? But then it's his way of saying, fear God and fear me for what I represent, and fear people that I'm with and also representing me, because, you know, this is not something that you just take lightly and just dismiss and act like it's a normal everyday conversation with somebody. It's because sometimes when you're working with people or talking to people that are very, very holy and walking a very true witness with the Lord, that's the representation of the Lord. That's them. That's God in them too. And he's letting us know that, at least let me know real quick, hey, listen, you may not want to do this or want and even consider it, but if you take this lightly and just kind of dismiss things and treat it like a normal conversation and say something you shouldn't say or offend somebody where you shouldn't offend somebody, just because you're not understanding the seriousness and nature of me, you can actually put yourself in judgment real quick, not even realizing that, just because you're not making yourself understanding of just where you're at, who you're talking to, and you're in the presence of. So, you know, it's one of those things when you can enter the throne room and you can enter it with each other here, especially if somebody's very well in tune with the Lord. And if you don't take that with a little bit of understanding and think about what you're going to say before you say it sometimes, that can put you in a bad place real quick. So I just wanted to, not that I'm saying anybody does that here, but he reminded me of that real quick recently. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's what this means. Even though they may come across your mind of doing anything, return evil for good, it's the idea of you're in a presence of God, so you might want to consider your steps before you make anything. Consider what you're going to say before you say it. Because now the farther you go into this, the farther you go up, the more you get closer to God, and closer with God with others around you. But there's a little more of a responsibility included with that. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Well, reason I showed that tonight, I didn't want anybody to get under the law. God's got a lot of grace. But I wanted to wake up people. You remember what Raven Hill said? Raven Hill said, there's one way to Jesus, but there's a million ways to hell. And that is so correct. We think a lot of people in denominational churches think that, well, this is the church here. It's going to take me right straight on up to Jesus. When in fact, it's going to take them right straight down to hell because of their disobedience to the word. Unforgiveness is a big one, man. You can't have any unforgiveness in your heart at all and expect to go to heaven. Unforgiveness is one of the biggest things that I've seen people stumble over. They get mad. They get mad at, over stupid stuff, you know, and they hold a grudge over, you know, you're talking about your eternal salvation here. Forget the pride. Forget yourself. You better start thinking about yourself and where you are with Christ, you know, as far as unforgiveness goes. You can't harbor any unforgiveness in your heart and expect to go to heaven. And it's not going to happen. What did Jesus say? And that's what you got to look at, not what that preacher's up there telling you. You got to understand that there are certain things that we can and cannot do as a child of God. But like I said before, we all should have a reverential fear of God. When it comes to sin, you should have a deathly fear of God and don't allow sin in. And if you do, repent quickly. Repent quickly. And when you repent quickly, God's going to look, you know, he's not going to, he says, I forget you. I forget your sins as far from me as east is to west. And so you don't have to worry about it from that point on. Get back on track and go on. But boy, I'll tell you what, the fear, when you're walking in righteousness, you don't have to worry about the fear of God because you already have it. You're walking in that righteousness and you understand it. And you do have a reverential fear of God because you know where you are with him. You're walking with him. You're walking right by his side. You don't have to worry about it. But you understand who he is, the holy God that he is. So, amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Willie.
All right. I noticed a verse of scripture that was brought up, you know, in that video. I've seen that video before. I probably listened to it like 10, 12 times. Like, I don't know. I love that video. I noticed the one thing he talked about that he's, you know, Paul said before he got the fear, you know, and the Lord said, did you hear what he said before he got the fear? He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You know, you refuse to be weak. How are you going to develop a reverential fear of God? You know, that weakness, you know, he put it in order. He said, weakness, fear, trembling. He said, this is how it's going to come. Weakness first, then comes the fear, then comes the trembling, you know. And he threw it in the order like that on purpose. He said, look, I'm on the earth. I'm with you guys. I'm just as you guys are. I'm in weakness, you know. But I learned through being weak, you know, the fear of the Lord, you know. And through the fear of the Lord, I learned to tremble before him. You know, and I saw that, you know. And then you get that Proverb 16:8 where it says, better is a little with the righteous than great revenue with injustice. You don't learn that weakness. You know, you're going to have a lot of injustice. you know, and worldly revenue in your heart. For where your treasure is, you know, there shall your heart be. You know, better is a little. You know, God starts you off with that little. You know, what's that little? Making you weak. He made Adam weak on purpose. You know, and I never thought of Adam as being weak. I kind of looked at Adam like, what was you thinking? You know, dude, you was perfect. And that's how I perceived Adam, as, you know, how could you go and mess up? You know, you was made king in the world. You know, what was on your mind? You know, now we're stuck like this. You know, I blame Adam for a couple of things, you know. But yeah, I just wanted to share that part because I noticed that he said weakness first. And, you know, now I see why God's dealing with me about, you know, weakness. You know, because I noticed that, you know, he's been doing little things, you know, in that weakness and dealing with me. He'll tell me, you know, don't say a certain thing. Don't tell that joke. You know, don't say that to that person. You know, don't give that compliment. It's going to go down the wrong direction. And he's doing it, you know, to see if I'm going to fear. You know, if I'm going to obey him, if I'm going to show a reverence, you know, toward what he's showing, you know, because he's trying to feel me, you know. I just wanted to share that part.
Amen. Well, that's true. That's true. You know, if we here in the house, which Eve has seen an angel standing right outside my door, and another one on the other side, of the I don't know what you call it. Anyway, I'm upstairs and there's a rail out there and then there's a bedroom on the other side of it. Joe knows what I'm talking about. And there's an angel standing on the other side. And when we pray, those angels take off and they go do whatever it is that they do, you know. But then they come back and they're sitting here waiting. And I always think in my mind now, what are they watching me for? What has he got a book? I wonder, you know, is he taking down notes for about me? You know, and I got to keep myself straight, glory to God, because that angel's out there watching me. And that's what goes through my mind when God don't want us to do that. He wants us to think that, hey, look, you're walking by faith. Don't worry about it. You're accounted righteous in my eyes. When you repent of your sins, you're just as righteous as the most righteous person out there. But sometimes if you think about it, you got angels all around you. All of us do, not just in this house. All of us do. We got angels around you. But they're there for one reason. They're there to help us and to prod us and to keep us going, you know. Just like the Holy Spirit, that's what his job is. The Holy Spirit is to guide you. You got to listen, though. You got to listen. Figure out what he's saying to you. I think I'm rambling. Anyway. Anybody else? Yeah, these are big angels out here. The other day I was walking out there and Eve was out there. And she said, they're there. She gets to see in the spirit that way a lot. And one of them's name is, the one on the far side over, his name is J-E-R-U-E-L, Jeriel. Well, I call him Jerry. That's what I do. I just call him Jerry. I can't say all them Hebrew words. I say, Jerry, what's up, bud? You know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I tell him that, too. You know, I ain't trying to be disrespectful. I don't know. I think the Lord told me this guy's name was Micah. got to be, you know, being outside my room, or something like that. But anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that, other than the fact that they're there. But when we pray as a group downstairs, they go do whatever it is that we commission them to do. Getting back to the fear of God, I got off on that. Fear of God. Anybody else? All right. What y'all want to talk about now? Do you want to see another one? Another good one? One that'll set you on fire. Boy, I'm talking about set you on fire. Lord of God. Yeah, Joe. Go on, buddy.
I'm glad you brought, or Dave, you know, kind of piggybacking on what you said, you know, about you got to be careful what you say around some people and what you do and you act. I kind of have, one of the many struggles is just kind of, and I found myself lately, you know, I guess God's dealing with me in that area. But, you know, it almost reminds me of what I was like, you know, last week, you know, when I talked about when I was unsaved. And, you know, yet to come in the kingdom, and I remember God, you know, I have no idea who it was, but he was protecting me. You know, I didn't know where I was going. You know, I was walking around, but, you know, he would tell me, don't hang out with that person, or don't watch this on TV, or look at this online, or whatever. It was like God protecting me. But, you know, I had enough fear, let's just say that, to say, okay, yeah, I'm going to obey whatever that is. You know, I didn't know it was God, but, I mean, yeah, it was God kind of telling me, hey, don't go there, you know. I mean, that's a no-no. But, you know, I think it's there is that struggle at time, you know, and I like what Leonard Ravenhill said. I mean, I always like listening to some of his compilations, you know, him and David Wilkerson, you know, the pastor from New York is what he said. And but now, you know, and Leonard Ravenhill said, and it just really stuck with me. I thought, wow, yeah, we have this skewed understanding of Jesus. I mean, we understand that love and that grace, you know, and that tenderness of Jesus. Absolutely. I mean, that is part of his character. But that reverential fear, that respect, like you said, Michael, you know, I have that respect. You know, I'm not trying to disrespect the angel when I talk to him like that, but it's having that respect, you know, and I'm trying to find that balance, understanding, you know, the fear of the Lord and sin. You know, I mean, I'm finding myself at times like, okay, you know, I mean, you got that, I mean, focusing more on the understanding of Jesus. Okay, you know, well, he'll forgive me. You know, maybe it's still that skewed understanding of grace, you know, dealing with that, just that cheap grace, you know, that I mean, thinking, oh, well, you know, I can sin and God will forgive me and we're good, you know. I'll get back on that path. And it's like, no, you know, you got to have that fear. I think that's where I'm starting to understand that's where the fear of the Lord comes. When you get close to that, you're tempted with sin, you're tempted to give in, or you're tempted with, you know, with me, it could be internet pornography. I mean, that's still a mild compared to what it used to be. I mean, that's still a temptation at times. But like he said, you know, that's a big one, that the pastor from India, you know, I mean, you know, that kind of hit home for me. I thought, oh yeah, you know, I mean, no wonder there's such a struggle out there. You don't have fear, you know. Yeah, I mean, you can have all the knowledge in the world of what the Bible says, but if you don't fear God or fear the consequences of staying in this sin and constantly giving in, yeah, you know, you're not going to quit, or you're not going to strive to ask the Lord to help you, you know, overcome, because you just figure, you know, I'll be all right. You know, I think that's something I've always kind of, so yeah, a couple of those things kind of shocked me back, or I mean, you know, helped me to realize, hey, Joe, you know, you got to stay on that straight and narrow, you know. Yeah, I mean, yes, good thing you said that, Michael, you know, I mean, about grace, understanding grace, but you got to take it serious. You know, it doesn't give you a license. I'm starting to realize that, you know, it doesn't give you that license to sin. Take it, you know, and just abuse your, you know, privileges or whatever, but you got to take it serious. Like, hey, okay, yeah, you're giving grace here. The Lord understands there's things you struggle with, but don't use that as an excuse to say, okay, well, Lord's going to forgive me. I'll mess up this time and, you know, we'll deal with it next time. Like, no, you deal with it now. You know, yeah, I mean, you got to take it serious now, because, you know, yeah, I mean, who knows what will happen. So, yeah, I mean, that's something that kind of spoke to me, and it just causes me to say, you know, you got to take this serious. You know, it's not a laughing matter. It's not nothing you can just kind of be lax about. You know, you know, yeah, your attitude towards certain sins are just, that's, yeah, powerful.
All right, amen. All right, anybody else? Have y'all listened to the one about hunger for God? Have I played it on here? Y'all want to hear the one about hunger from God? Man, it'll fire you up. Okay, we'll listen to it. I just made up my mind. But I may have to stop it short. It's about 24 minutes long, I think. We'll see. Let me ask you first. Do y'all want to see it? Does anybody want to see it? Okay. I have one head nod. Yeah, that's enough for me. I'm just kidding. Okay.
But I'll tell you this, and I mean no disrespect, but it's a lot easier to learn principles than it is to tarry with the Christ. I know so many little preacher boys, and some of them are 70 years old, that their whole life is nothing but little doctrines and principles, but they have never tarried before the Lord. They have spent no closet time. Their knees are not bare. They know nothing of going out into the woods for 7-8 days and screaming at the gates of heaven. They'd honor the pilgrims and the Puritans all day long, but they know nothing. They know nothing of their zeal and nothing of their passion. It is so easy to learn principles about holiness. It is so easy to learn attributes of God as they're set forth in statements. But how many men are so sick and tired of not being in the presence of God that they are willing to depart from absolutely everything? And if it means running like a wild man through the woods for a week, throwing rocks at heaven, they will not rest until the presence of God is real in their life.
He says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God.
Our ears have heard about him, but our eyes have not seen him.
I've been to church, but why is my soul cast down?
You're going to become nothing but a bunch of cold principles if the presence and the power of God is not in your life.
But he said, there's something missing. There's something missing. And there are millions and millions of godly Christians, those who love the Lord, but they know that there is something, that there's an inner longing that has not been quite satisfied. There's an unmet spiritual need yet. There's something out there, something deeper. There's a beauty, there's a glory, there's an excitement about who the Lord is that I have not seen, that would give me something to see me through the rest of my life, something I could give my life to.
I remember as a young Christian, I was born again, I was baptized, and I was studying the scriptures. I felt there was something missing in my life. And people tried to convince me theologically, oh yeah, you got everything when you were born again. I tried to believe that. I went to an assembly that taught that. But when I read in the scriptures, words like this, John 7, 37-39, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.
And it was just like that after my conversion. I mean, just everywhere, all I could think about was Jesus. And then I remember one day walking into a store thinking about buying some new boots. And I walked out of the store. I have never been so broken in all my life. I realized that I walked into that store and Christ was not in every thought. Christ was not in just every. And I thought, what happened? You know what's terrifying is when that becomes so common it no longer even bothers us anymore.
You remember in the 84th Psalm he says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And then right after that he says, a day in my courts is better than a thousand.
The main thing is he's fatherly, he's encouraging, he's loving, but he's saying, come up higher.
and tell him this year, I trust you will, and I'm going to tell him every day. My goal is God himself.
Find a basement. Get some knee pads. And let's learn how to cry out to God.
And you know what Moses prayed? He had been on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. He had been the one that had the encounter with God at the burning bush. He had been the one that raised the rod and saw the sea split. He saw, seeing the miracle power of God like no one else who ever lived. But now there's something in him in the midst of the glory, in the midst of the blessing, in the midst of the moving. There's something in him crying out for a greater revelation of God. There's something in him that has to break out and take hold of God. He can't live where he is any longer. He can't stay back any longer. And he says, oh God, show me your glory. I've got to have you and know you and experience you in a way beyond what I have yet. Friends, that's what it's going to take, that heart cry rising up to the throne of God.
You seek God with all your heart and soul and might, and nothing will keep you from God till you find him. In reality, to the superficiality and all the lukewarmness and the compromising, God, do you think God won't deal with you if you've did that? What keeps you from that?
And then and there I claimed the gift of the Holy Spirit in dogged committal on Luke 11:13. I had no vision of heaven or of angels. I had nothing. I was as dry and empty as ever. No power or realization of God. No witness of the Holy Spirit. But something happened. He said, if the previous years had been hell on earth, these 4 years after have truly been heaven on earth. Glory be to God, the last aching abyss of the human heart is filled to overflowing with the love of God. Love is the beginning, love is the middle, and love is the end. After he comes in, all you see is Jesus only, Jesus ever.
But if the Holy Spirit is truly, truly upon you in this generation, you will not be satisfied. You will not be found among those who sit in supposed houses of God with your feet on the altar rail and a cup of coffee in your hand, listening to a PowerPoint sermon about a Christ they don't know.
Fire!
You know, it's a wonderful thing when God reaches down from earth and gets hold of a man. There's only one thing more wonderful to me, that's when a man on earth gets hold of God.
It's a hunger so intense that it is all-consuming and dominating. A hunger so powerful that it says to an angel, even though it's exhausted and bone-tired, I won't let you go until you bless me. God is seeking a hunger that will not let go because it cannot let go. A hunger that cannot quit because to quit is to die.
I'm looking for a manifestation of God in heaven. When he left, sit far to the sanctuary speechless. You have to get out of the door, they're talking football or other junk.
You men, most of you know more than I'll ever know. The thing about it is, are we seeking him? Are we seeking him? Are we seeking him?
Talking about holy starvation. Listen to what Lake said. God's purposes come to pass when your heart and mind get the real God cry. And the real God prayer comes into our spirit. And the real God yearning gets hold of our nature. Something is going to happen then. No matter what your soul may be coveting, if it becomes the supreme cry of your life, not the secondary matter, or the third, or fourth, or fifth, or tenth, but the supreme desire of your soul, the paramount issue, all the powers and energies of your spirit, soul, and body are reaching out to God and crying to God for the answer. It is going to come. The hunger of a man's soul must be satisfied. It must be satisfied. It is a law of God in the depths of the spirit. God will answer the heart that cries. God will answer the soul that asks. Can you really say, God, I'm desperate? Can you really say, oh God, I can't live
without the blessing. Not for some selfish thing, but so that God can touch us, so we can touch others. Jesus himself who said, if anyone thirsts, let him come after me. Let him come to me and drink.
He said, I will not let thee go unless you bless me.
Are you desperate?
I'm looking for God, the Holy Ghost, to come suddenly.
He says, I'm not satisfied with anything except God. My goal is God himself. Not joy, not peace, not even blessing, not the favors. And I want God. I need him.
Have I ever sought God so desperately that I'd rather die than not get to know him? You see how weak our longing for God is? You got to have a heart that longs for God. See, there's a law in God's dealings with man that it's only those who seek him with all their heart, Jeremiah 29, verse 13, who seek him with all their heart who will find him. So if you didn't find him, it's because you didn't seek with all your heart. And you didn't seek with all your heart because you didn't think it was so important. You know, people who don't seek for the fullness of the Holy Spirit with all their heart, chances are they'll never be filled with the Holy Spirit.
I want to yearn for you. I want to burn with passion. Oh, obey you. And only you. Lord, I want to yearn for you. I want to burn with passion. Oh,
Heavenly Father, here I am, a sacrifice on your altar. I hold nothing back from you. Hold nothing back from me. Send the fire. Set me ablaze. Burn up the dross. Burn up the flesh. Make me a flame of fire. Use me to set my world ablaze. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, I want to yearn for you. I want to burn with passion. Oh, and only you. Lord,
at night and you lose a 5-cent coin, how long would you look for it? Would you spend the whole night looking for that cheap coin? No. But supposing during the day you accidentally misplaced $100,000 somewhere, boy, you'd spend a long time looking for that. How do you seek for God? You seek for God like a 5-cent coin. Okay. You look for a little bit. If you find him, well and good. If you don't find, doesn't matter. I've got other more important things to do. Well, then, such people never find God. God says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
How much time do you spend in the presence of God? How much time do you lay before him? How much time do you pull away from everyone else and even from your studies, dear brother? to throw yourself down before Him and seek His face. I would go out on the streets in Austin, Texas and preach. I was afraid. There was no boldness. There was no power. There was nothing. But I would always hear the voices of these old men. And one day I decided enough is enough. I will seek Him until I find Him or until I die. I went into a closet and I said, I'll not leave this closet until I know God. 15 minutes later, I fell asleep. My roommates came home and found me in the closet. So I took an alarm clock with me. And please, I'm not saying this for any other reason except I feel like I'm supposed to. Took an alarm clock with me. Set it for every 15 minutes. I'd pray for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. Fall asleep. Alarm clock go off. Set it again. This was my prayer. I didn't pray for China. I didn't pray for the presence of God. In the sense of my ministry, I asked one thing. Lord, You said if I seek You, I'll find You. You said it, Lord, that You would reveal Yourself to me. You would let Yourself be found by me if I seek You. Night after night after night after night for months. 2 and 3 hours a night, simply sitting there like this, on my knees. Lord, it's been 4 months now. It's been 5 days now, and You still have not come. And just sit there. Lord, I've been here 3 hours, and You have not come. Day after day, and night after night. And then one day our church was spring break, and all the college students were going to go on a Bible study ski trip type thing in Colorado. And I felt like the Lord wanted me just to go out into West Texas to the hill country, pretty barren. And I walked on top of those hills 3 days like a wild man. If you would have seen me, you would have thrown me in an asylum. I was picking up rocks and I was throwing them, literally, physically throwing them at the sky. I was screaming. I was saying, God, I must know You. You must come. You must. I can't live like this anymore. I can't live just reading books. I can't live just reading about revivals and about people who knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who knew You. And nothing happened. And I went home. Another several weeks passed. And one night, He came. I just said, oh, Father, I can't. Please come. And He came. I was thrown down on the ground, I don't know how long, in a fetal position, covering my head, thinking, God's come to kill me. The presence of God, in a way that in 1 second, more of my sin and my need and His glory and power was revealed. And then all of a sudden, every bit of fear was taken away. And I was filled with such joy, and my mouth shot open. Verse after verse from Psalms, from everywhere else, passages I had read just started coming forth. Praises unto Him, the Word of God. Such joy. And I can tell you, it has been 20 years. The presence of Christ is more real to me in this room than any one of you. And one of the things that is so bad today is many of you men here, you also have known the presence of Christ. But now most of your prayer life is nothing but praying just a little and then just realizing He hasn't come and getting up and walking away instead of staying there until He does. It's just prayer of going through the motions. You want holiness in your life? Run to Him and stay there. Stay there.
I want to know what it's like to have uninterrupted communion. I want to be able to call on Him at any day. I want to be have my life to be a life of prayer. One thing I desire and one thing I have set my heart to, and that is that I can dwell in His presence and inquire of Him. In other words, I want to know who He is. I want to see His face. I don't know what your thought may be. If you could say the one thing, the one desire you have in life that you're going to spend your life, rest of your life seeking to obtain. I want something now that truly satisfies my soul. I want something deeper than I have ever known in the Lord.
And I say, Lord, I'm not letting you go. I'm hanging on. I know it's your will. This man wrestled. He touched God. Well, tell me, who in the world is worth touching if it's outside of God? If we can't touch God, we touch nobody. We're touching nothing. Only God can save us. We need a divine intervention. We need God to rend the heavens and come and disturb us. And to do that, He'll show us our bankruptcy. He'll show us that we have to be stripped before He'll clothe us, empty before He'll fill us, plead our poverty before He'll make us rich. I'm looking for God, the Holy Ghost, to come suddenly.
I need a living experience of the Holy Spirit right now that produces rivers flowing through me right now.
I'm going to challenge you with everything in me. Press through! Press through the crowds! Press through the religion! Press through the schemers! Press through your enemies!
God, have mercy!
I'm so hungry! Find Him! Find Him! Find Him! Find Him!
Oh, God, for one time! Lord, open your heart to me. I want to know you. I want to see you. And the Lord answers him with three words. Seek my face.
And say, God, I need you. I need you. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in my life. I want reality. I want rivers of living water.
The Holy Spirit. We need to be flowing in the river and the life of God as a reality. And we are meant to be filled with Him and to be consumed by Him. Get filled with God. But right now, let's just be inspired and hungry for the reality of God.
We are meant to burn. There's something I'm longing for, unshakable, uninterrupted. Some kind of a walk with God that I've not yet seen or experience. And folks, David, I believe, got tired of dead ritual in the house of God. He tired of the ceremonies. He sees the Lamb, and he says, they talk about the Lamb, but who is the Lamb of God? I want to know this Lamb.
But there's a stirring in you. There's a stirring in the true bride in this generation. Thank God that you've been sent on a search for Him. It's evidence that the Holy Spirit is within you. He's drawing you, He's guiding you, because God loves you with all of His heart.
And you have not found it yet, because somewhere along the line, you got stuck in front of a television set, and you neglected your Bible and got dead inside, and you turned your own prayer life and everything else into a ritual. And now, it's left you hungry. But I'm saying, even the godly people who pray, even those who are under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they're always reaching out to this one eternal, glorious joy, something that will take me to the coming of the Lord and see me all the way through eternity. It's a relationship. It's an uninterrupted intimacy with Jesus Christ. Now, this is not a call to prayer. David's been praying 7 times a day. This is not a call, well, go spend more time. Yes, thank God for more time. Thank God for all the Bible study and all of that. But the face of God is His reflection. It's His likeness. This is a call to get to know who the Lord is so you can live like Him. Seeking the face of Jesus is not just a call to prayer. It's a call to a hunger and a thirst in the soul to seek.
It is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Till He come. Not to some short prayer at the end of the sermon. But till He come, I will not let thee go. Except thou bless me. Except you have your way and your will with my life. Not let me go except thou bless me. Have thy way. No matter what it costs, God. Oh, ye shall seek me, ye shall find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, God says. That cost you everything.
Moses in the spirit groans, and God sitting on the circle of the earth with all power and authority says, Moses, let me alone. And Moses answers back, he said, I won't let you alone.
He said, I'm so desperate, I've got to find you.
I'm going to challenge you with everything in me. Press through! Press through the crowds! Press through the religion! Press through the schemers! Press through your enemies! Find him! Find him! Find him! Find him!
God tests me to see whether I'm serious. And I knock, nothing happens. And I knock, nothing happens. I ask, nothing happens. I pray, I seek, I knock. I'm not going to give up because I'm determined.
You know, it's a wonderful thing when God reaches down from earth and gets hold of a man. There's only one thing more wonderful to me. That's when a man on earth gets hold of God.
Amen. It says my internet connection is unstable. I don't believe that. Y'all believe that? No. Hey, that'll set you on fire, won't it? Make you want to get right with God. Makes
you... So good. Every time you play that, you've played it before. That is so good. It always moves me. Always.
Well, don't do like I do sometimes, get in the closet like this guy did and fall asleep. Don't do that. Put you on, don't even have to put you. Look, he's so right. We need to seek God. That's why I like Andy Murray's book so much. Is he's always encouraging people to get in and waiting on God first part of the day, and seeking God and getting close to God. And we'll see it. We'll see it. We'll see it. Well, we're about ready. Fall out. We're just about out of time here, it looks like. Let me see here. What time is it? Oh, we got 5 minutes. what'd y'all think about it? We'll have a little discussion here. Quick one. I'm going to get in the closet when I leave here. I don't want to fall asleep, but that's liable to happen.
I'm like, come on. Don't you guys want to run after the Lord? I mean, that just really pumps me up. I'm like, okay. That's how I even came to the Lord. I had such a hunger for him. I wanted to know him. And that's how he just led me, you know, and kept leading me and still keep leading me. And look, this is still touching me to keep leading me to go further, deeper and deeper. I'm like really in awe over here. And I'm like, come on, you guys. I'm looking at you guys. It's like no one's pumped up there.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's pumped up. They're okay, pumped up. Good. They're just not showing it. They're on the inside, there's a rumble going on there. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
There's a rumble going
on. It brought tears to my eyes. I don't know. It just really moved me.
We all long for that relationship with God that he's talking about. I remember John G. Lake. I've heard the story about Lake when he was seeking. He said, you're baptized, John, in the Holy Spirit. And he said, there's more. There's more. There's more. And he sought for a year. He knew there was something out. Y'all remember what happened, don't you? Him and this other guy went over to pray for this old lady that had rheumatoid arthritis. And the guy was praying for her. He asked Lake if he wouldn't go with him to him. He said, yeah. So Lake was sitting over in a chair, and all of a sudden the heaven just opened up and dropped in on him. And this light came down all over him. He said it felt like oil just going, this great, glorious oil just going through my body. He said it was just awesome. He said the power of God was like electricity going through my whole body. And said I just got up out of that chair. He said if I knew I touched her, I'd kill her. With so much power in my hand. He said I just got the other guy had his hand on her leg or something, and he was praying for her. And when he touched that woman, she was instantly healed and knocked that other guy plumb away from her. The power of God went through and knocked that other man away from him. But, you know, we long for that. We long for that relationship with God. And it takes getting in there and pressing in, just like you said, pressing in, pressing in, pressing in. And we've had some great times in praise and worship in our fellowship, but sometimes they just cut it way too short. They just shut it off, you know, and I'm saying, oh, get that close. And then, you know, and it just goes with following the Holy Spirit, you know, and everybody being in one accord. And when you get into that one accord, woo, glory to God, the power of God comes down. Everybody in there gets filled up. It's awesome. Well, we're out of time, it looks like. Anybody got any final comment before we get out of here? Close
I
out.
I agree with you there, Michael, what you just said about being on one accord. I'm still looking forward, or I'm thinking, man, that one weekend I came down a couple months ago and just, you know, where David said, you know, whenever we talk about revival or such, you know, and then it just, you know, and the Lord showed up in a big way, and I thought, wow, can we have this like 365 days a year, 24/7 here? That'd be nice.
You can. You have to go and get it.
Yeah,
we all exactly. have to go and get it. Mm-hmm. Well, Father, I just thank you so much for giving us that encouragement tonight to run after you with all our hearts, Lord, and not to look at anything else, Lord. All we want, Lord, is you to fill us up and to root out all kinds of junk out of us, that your love and your glory would come into us, Lord, and root out darkness in our hearts. And the only thing left would be you, Father. That's what we want. It's not a feeling, Lord. It's so much just a knowing that you're there and that you filled us up and that everything that we've ever wanted is there, Lord. There's not going to be any question in our mind that you're there, Lord. That's what we long for. And I'm kind of like Paul Washer, Lord. I'm tired of hearing somebody else experiencing that. I want to experience it myself, and I know everybody here does too. And Father, we're going to run after you until we get that, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I praise you and I glorify you. And I thank you, Lord, for helping us out here, giving us that wherewithal in us, Lord, to run after you, because that's the only thing that matters nowadays in these perilous times that we're in, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for doing just that. Be with us as we go about doing this holiday. I don't know what everybody's got planned, but I know some of you do. We do here. But, Lord, let our eyes always, always be focused on you and nothing else. And we thank you for it, Lord. Ooh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters here, Lord. Thank you for the love you place in my heart for them, Lord. And I thank you for all of them. And I ask that you protect them, provide for them, and heal them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Good night, folks. We'll see you later. We'll see you Thursday night. Thursday night's going to be potpourri. Everybody gets to do whatever they want to. Talk about whatever you want to and bring a song, whatever, you know. That'll be a Thursday night. Bring a piece of turkey if you want to. I don't care, you know. Let me try to get everybody unmuted. There it is.
Amen.
All right, good night.
All right, good night, everybody.